The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
All right, as we turn our attention to our economist this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Is it, what's the correct pronunciation?
Taharuka
Obika. Taharuka Obika. All right.
Good morning, David, to you and your listeners, and I guess viewers, depending on if they're streaming.
Of course we are streaming, if you're watching the stream. Good morning, and thank you so much for, is it Taharuka?
Taharuka, yes.
Taharuka.
Like you pitch marbles.
Oh, Taharuka Obika. Very unusual name. All right, good morning, Taharuka Obika, economist, and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. I do apologize for our Zoom link this morning, but I'm glad that we were able to patch the call and get you in on the line. I was trying to call you, but for some reason was unsuccessful. So this morning, we want to talk with you as an economist about the fallouts with this job cuts, this CPEP URP forestry workers. Let's talk a little bit on the economic side of things. What is government, what is your thoughts on government's position with putting all these people, over 11,000 individuals, on the breadline today?
I mean, the government, of course, is hiding behind the fig leaf of an argument that they're chasing out ghosts. But if we were to follow the statement by the Bank and General Workers Trade Union, the 400 workers are really human beings, citizens of Trinidad and Tobago. And therefore, it is disingenuous to hide behind that and to refer to them as a hefty sum of persons being fired. You know, the ILO has a lot of conventions that protect the workers, International Labour Organization. And what is also demonstrated is the government summarily dismissed these workers and branded them as the benefits of criminal enterprise, which also significantly affects their ability to get a job elsewhere. Because if now, let's say somebody comes to you at Freedom 106.5 and says, Mr. Murray, I have some experience in organizing persons and I see all of our community effort. I want to be a worker for the organization. He's like, no. And he was in the RP, that's not a criminal enterprise. So therefore, it also creates more harm for the persons who have lost their jobs. That's significant. And the government has also disregarded industrial relations practice, where they are required to pay them for each year that they worked, 2 weeks pay per year, and up to 5 years, after 5 years, 3 weeks per year. So, and this is spelled out clearly by the Bank and General Workers Trade Union. Now, so that's one. The other thing is, what the government is continuously doing is also stating that they're just getting rid of some PNM nests. So it's okay to ignore the rights of the workers as outlined by the ILO convention, which we are party to in Trinidad and Tobago. It's okay to do that as long as the worker is classed as a PNM. And in a society as ours, we have to be very careful with that type of rhetoric and narrative, because of course what it speaks to is the obvious fears of the population in a society where it is we tend to be fractured on race, especially on political lines. The government should have been more careful in the narrative that they push. So it is okay to terminate the employment against industrial relations practice. So basically, giving these persons subhuman treatment. So that is what the ILO focuses on, the treatment of human beings in terms
of the workplace. Not to cut you, Mr. Obika, not to cut you, but would this not be contracted workers, you know, on contract, where their contract would be renewed ever so often, if it's every 3 months or every 6 months, they're on a contract. Are they still entitled to this every year your work? But then, who is going to work out how much money you would have gotten if it's 2 months to 1 year, you know, that type of...
I would invite you to look at the statement. It's been published in newspapers of the Bank and General Workers Trade Union. You can also contact their president, Mr. Devanish, to have him give his views on what has happened and in terms of how these workers' rights have been trampled on, you know. So I would invite you to do that and take a look at that, and then he will be able to provide you with some clarity. I understand relations breach has happened, all right? And the government is basically trying to get away with it on the fig leaf of an argument. They're hiding behind that. It's so thin as a fig leaf that it's just some PNM workers. Now, what is that? What signal that sends into the marketplace? It sends a signal, and you have to remember that a sitting government senator is on video, so therefore he's on record. All right? A sitting government senator, he has an affinity to sports. All right? A sitting government senator is on record, on a video, stating that they will summarily dismiss Ian Fraid to fire any PNM worker, any PNM. And therefore, it also speaks to a constitutional right in Trinidad and Tobago, which is freedom of association. Yeah. All right? So you have a sitting government minister unashamedly saying that. And then the government saying that they're getting rid of 8,000 ghosts. But the trade union is saying, hold a minute here. This is a breach, and the government has acted against industrial relations practice. And now in a society as ours, what people tend to be very careful of now is let's speak to the wider scenario, what is happening. Because at the lower economic level, these persons are, is not just CPEP, is not just URP, is not just reforestation. It's basically any opportunity where they can fire somebody at a low economic level. All right, whether it's somebody who's an orderly somewhere or a gopher somewhere in a state enterprise. As far as they can do, these persons are voiceless. The trade unions are totally compromised, all right, because the PSA is now singing the praises of the government, all right, and the OWTU, well, they're still hoping to get the refinery, so they're quiet. They have been bought. Lock, stock, and barrel. The OWTU is a shell of its former self. So the reality is this. You have a scenario where the unions are silent. The only unions that are speaking up are the Bank and General Workers Trade Union and the Seamen and Waterfront Workers Trade Union. We have not heard tutor on this issue of police officers in schools. The only objections came from the National Parents and Teachers Association, which is not a trade union. All right? So... And the issue that we are facing with is an onslaught and a buyout or a sellout, depending on where you look at it, of the trade union movement. Now, the problem that we are facing is this. When these persons lose their jobs, their children are suffering in terms of getting to school, in terms of facing the daily, the hardships that they face. You have economic specialists specializing in poverty. So, for example, Professor Carl Theodore, he would have weighed in on that. And in an article that was featured in newspapers over the weekend. So you have these issues. But beyond that, so that's the economic aspect of things. What an economist might argue is that the economy could withstand this, could these people really spend much, they have much money. However, these persons also basically spend all of their income, all right? Because they don't, once you're at the lower end of the economic ladder, you don't have much in the way of savings from your salary, right? Whatever savings you have, you may have accumulated it from other endeavors. So therefore, the people that depend on these people for their business, they will also have an issue. So if we have to remedy the situation, it is not only, from a policy perspective, it is not only providing relief, which has not happened, for these persons, income relief, income support for these persons so that they can live. You also have to provide income support for the persons that they support because they would buy things at different locations and so on. I don't know the big business.
The small.
They need no support, but the smaller operators. Would
all right.
So that's on the economic level. But on a social level, the problem that this speaks to is the dog whistling. Well, it's just PNM. And when you look at state enterprises across the board, you have some board members coming in and basically interviewing persons and asking them who are working there if you're PNM.
But that's a normal thing.
No, that is not normal, okay. The way in which it is happening but this time. The way, you have to remember, right, in 20, every time a government changes...
But before you continue...
There may be a changing of the guard, right? But that stops at the political directorate. So if they get rid of Obika, no problem. right? Against industrial relations practice, no problem, because Obika is in the political directorate. But you, Davy Murray, you have the right to freely join whichever party you want. You can even form a party.
But you see, you're talking about this time. But just before you continue, right, we have a short time, and I have one call on the line. I would like to make a comment with you. Caller, good morning.
Good morning, Davy.
Good morning.
Good morning to your guests. I like to have debates with people who are honest. You know, when people are being, you know, when they're being dishonest, it is very difficult to have a good debate with them. Because they would
From the wrong premise already, caller. You start from the wrong premise.
No. You listen.
Mr. Murray, I think you would want to have a caller who's objective. Let me finish the point I wanted to make, right?
Go ahead.
The point I wanted to make is that when you are in a society that is multiracial and you have state enterprise, I was in the UN for 5 years. I'm telling you what is happening. Persons are giving me information quietly. All right? You have board members going into organizations and asking persons who are of one ethnicity, if it is a PNM. That is not a good omen for this country. In 2010, the UNC had fetters because you had different organizations that were part of the structure. Now all you have is a union that is a shell of its former self, hoping they get a refinery. So Ante Roger has basically sold out the patronage of the labor movement. But so you have no one there, and of course the president of PSA is a praise singer for the government. Mm. So therefore you have no one there who is providing fetters. You remember in 2010-15, you had Makanda Daga standing on a platform accusing the government of corruption. So you had persons who had who would have provided fetters to the government, preventing them from wanton disregard, right, for the balance that the society requires. And I'm telling you, the direction the government has gone down over the last 5 months is a bad omen. It is not just that the wild talk that they're having with Venezuela is the problem. It is the wanton disregard for the social balance that is required in Trinidad and Tobago that they are perpetrating across the board in the state sector. And that is the problem.
You know, I listen to you and this is something that has been complained about for decades. When government change, these entities have been used as political footballs. There are persons on the yard, in the ground, that will tell you, if you don't wear your red today, or you ain't come to work with your yellow, you ain't going to get the next 10 days and the next fortnight. That is something is being said. So for you to come and say that the directors and this one, we understand that these have been used as political football by both parties, UNC, PNM, others. It has been used. So can you refute that?
The extent to which it is happening now is
All right, let's take another call.
You understand the difficulty, right? So I'm saying that, yes, when a government changes, persons who are politically exposed expect to face some loss. That is an expectation. Because as they say in some societies, nobody can bring you. However, persons who are not political actors, their only crime is that they may be affiliated to a political organization, but they are not a political operative at a high level.
Let me ask you
those
a question.
And there are many persons who are in the UNC who maintain their positions in government over the last 10 years. In official, as public officers, on contract. I'm telling you this. I'm not guessing. I was in the UNC for 5 years. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
But the depth to which they are going now, is basically bordering on criminal, and that is the difficulty that I'm having. And you see, when you're in an economy, you need all hands to be on deck. You need persons to say, okay, election is over, let me work towards the benefit of Trinidad and Tobago. Not what, certainly not what is happening now.
So you expect
the trade union movement needs to speak up.
Yeah, but you see, you're making some very, very damning statements, and you're saying things that this one get bought out, they're trying to get this, and let me ask you something.
I am asking you, but
you have not been given me an opportunity to ask you a question, because I want you to tell me, right? there are certain state boards, there are boards that are of the state that once there's a shift in the political sands, these ones will be removed. It is understood. It is ethical.
We're not talking about this now. We're talking about different things.
You're not allowing me to finish.
I want to clarify for you. I'm not talking about directors.
I get you. No, but you mentioned...
They are considered part of the political directorate.
So it's okay. But we understand...
I'm talking about individuals who are in the belly of the organization.
But these same individuals in the belly of the organization, right, would be supportive of one party or the next. This government has taken a very unpopular, draconian and harsh approach to how they want to stem corruption within these entities. It's a very harsh approach. I myself am very critical of it, citing that they need to come up with an answer in the quickest possible, at their earliest convenience, to bring some sort of rescue to these workers. I am not pleased that 11,000 plus individuals are on the breadline, given the fact that what you just say, it's in the belly. But I'm saying there comes a time when the house is so dirty that just shifting the furniture around while you're living in it could cause problems. So you need to clean out all the furniture and paint the place and clean the place.
So let me ask you this question, right? The 400 workers that the Bank and General Workers Trade Union has basically raised a significant industrial issue, which is published in newspaper. You can call the president of the trade union to ask.
Oh, he will get a call.
Are you saying that because they suspect or they believe or there's evidence that there has been criminal activity, that these 400 workers must suffer without due course to their rights as workers? Are you saying that?
I am not saying that.
So therefore, what I'm saying is, have an objection to the things that I am saying, not the things that someone else is saying.
I am saying that
the government is acting in a manner that is not in accordance with human rights of the workers. The government is acting in a manner that is not in line with the enshrined rights as citizens in terms of freedom of association. We are not talking about persons in the political directorate, the directors and the leaders of the organization. We're not talking about those persons.
But that is how it goes across the board. When you look at PetroTrend, when you look at TSTT, let me explain something to you. In PetroTrend, refinery, TSTT, we understand time and time again, the past administration said that people had to go home because the wage bill was high. Let me finish now.
Let me ask you the question.
You're my guest this morning.
Were the persons in Petrichin who lost their job in 2018, were they persons who lost their job because they were UNC?
I want to make my point and finish.
I'm asking you a question. The persons
I apologize.
We're talking about political action. The persons who lost their job in Petrichin in 2018, did they lose their jobs because they were part of the UNC?
It's a point I want to make. And I will make my point.
If we're talking apples, then we talk apples.
No, but I haven't been able to talk at all because you seem to be the one. I want to hear you.
No,
but you're not being objective. You're being very...
My brother. Mm. Is that about me? We are talking about political actors being fired because of party affiliation. And
that is not the situation with CPEP and URP.
The acquisition that was leveled against many of the workers is either A, they involve in criminal activity, or B, they involve in PNM activity.
Not true.
Right?
You have nothing that you could tell me. I want you to bring some kind of tangible evidence that this is what it is. You need to bring that. Because you are making a statement.
They said it just now.
Who said it?
They said just on the man. Oh gosh, man. They said ghosts, right? The ghosts, and the men. They pointed to criminal gangs infiltrating Europe. Didn't the government say that?
But it's facts.
Did not the government right? And didn't they also point to ghosts regarding the political directorate?
Didn't they point
to persons in the political party having control? So all I'm doing is referring to what the government has said.
Listen.
I am not one of your callers who likes to call the station to raise an issue. You have called me and asked me to give my opinion on the political and the economic, so the social and the economic ramifications of the dismissal of these workers. So please accord me with the decency of me having a response to your point. You have called me, I didn't call you. You've called me.
Mr. Obika.
But you're treating me as if, you are treating me as if I'm begging to raise a point.
Mr. Obika.
You have called me and asked my opinion.
But Mr. Obika, I respectfully understand your position. But I was of the opinion that even though we called you for your thoughts on matters, it does not mean, and I mean this in all sincerity and earnesty, that if a conversation is happening between myself and you, that we cannot dialogue with each other. You said I'm treating you as if.
However, what you are doing is you raise 2 and 3 points. You because you are the host, you ought to allow me to respond to the points as you make them. You can't run for 5 minutes and then have me just sit there listening. That is not how a conversation happens. You see, I've just paused and given you a chance to enter. That is how a conversation happens, my brother. We are teaching, we are talking, the nation is listening. So we have to be civil in the manner we disagree. So in conclusion, because I know you have to go to the news.
Mm.
In conclusion, the government is operating in a manner that is showing contempt for workers at the lowest level, because the trade union movement is silent. OWTU has been bought out. They are waiting for the refinery. And the PSA is praise singing the government. Everything the government does is golden. And the government is hiding behind the fig leaf of the argument that everything they're doing is they're waiting on the PNM. Meanwhile, you have thousands of workers at the bottom of the economic ladder struggling.
And
the government also is being accused by a major trade union of disregarding their human rights as workers, as laid out in the ILO Convention and as laid out in our industrial relations practice in Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, then it's very...
And what I've done is also given you an opportunity to deepen the conversation by inviting you to contact the Bank and General Workers Union, the president, so you can have that conversation with him. And I want to invite you, my brother, that when you have that conversation with him, you need not treat him the way you treat your callers, because it's not going to help the conversation. You want to get to the bottom of it. What could also benefit is you can ask some of my former colleagues in the government to come on your program and answer these questions. That if they feel confident that the approach in dog whistling and having directors going across state enterprises to find the PNM, to dig out the PNM, if that is not going to be viewed as ethnic cleansing.
Thank you.
Put that to my former colleagues in the UNC.
Mr. Obika, thank you very much for chatting with me this morning. Again, if you felt slighted, I do apologize, but I will tell you. We coming back with you. We going to talk again very soon. We'll be reaching out. I will call you again, and we'll have conversations. Thank you again for chatting. Have a good one.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.